Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for making this possible. I ask you to bless all my brethren out there and draw them close to you and redeem their time, Lord, in Jesus' name. The days are evil. Redeem their time. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with the crucified life brings purity, number 3. And we're going to talk about the first revelation is the house of idol. That's I-D-L-E, which equals idols, I-D-O-L-S. Got that? This was a revelation given to Sandy Shaw back in 2011. And it's very pertinent for today because Sandy called me on 3/14/21 and said that the Lord had told her that this dream is to share for the time we are in now. Yes. So, anyway, on 3/13/21, Sandy said, I woke up at 3:33 a.m., and was having trouble going back to sleep, so I started praying and was able to go back to sleep. I then dreamed I was sitting on a bench under the shade of a tree on a really sunny day. I was looking across the field when all of a sudden I felt the presence of God behind and around me. I was terrified to turn around and look. He placed his hand on my right shoulder and said, Sandra, remember your idol slash idol dream. That's I-D-O-L. He said, that's for now. Share it. And when I woke up, the clock said 5:55, 5:55. So God will give us grace to overcome. Amen. This little correction he has for us, or maybe it's a big correction. So here is the dream that the Lord was saying is for now. In a dream, I was standing in front of a house with Spanish style stucco. I believe this represents the house of apostate Christianity. Jesus warned us that the house that was built on sand would not survive. And the storm of life and the three little pigs warned us that houses of inferior material wouldn't stand up to the big bad wolf, right? Amen. He warned that the house built on obedience to the word will stand. The stucco in this house is like untempered mortar. And the scripture says a lot about untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13:8-11 says this, Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Because you have spoken falsehood and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord, and my hand shall be against the prophets that see false visions, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the council of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there is no peace. And when one buildeth up a wall, behold, they daub it with untempered mortar. They say unto them that daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Obviously, untempered mortar is not so strong It's not a good strong defense against the enemy. And verse 14 says, so will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground. So the words of the false leaders out there are peace and safety and security, when there's evidently a threat. And they make people feel at ease when they should be warning them so that they can avoid the things that are coming. So that the foundations thereof shall be uncovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And Ezekiel 22 and 28 says, and her prophets have daubed for them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. Amen. We should obey and speak what the Lord has to say and give the warnings that are being given by the true prophets and dreams and visions and so on. Give the warnings. Instead, they don't believe in those warnings, and they have basically sidelined anybody that is a prophet, a true prophet, with all their pablum. Amen. There was a patio to get to the front door of this house. I saw people on the patio talking on cell phones and playing games on the internet. There were girls talking to their boyfriends, making idle chit-chat. I noticed a man standing next to me, and I didn't know who he is until he spoke and asked, how does this edify me? Realizing that it was Jesus talking, I said, Lord, forgive us. We don't realize. Well, you know, the house of or tabernacle being covered with Spanish style stucco represents our old nature that is foreign to the Lord. And the self-delusion that is contrary to righteousness is serving a false Jesus of our own making. Ezekiel 22:24-30 says, son of man, say unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They take treasure and precious things. They have made her windows many in the midst thereof. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. And they have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Well, of course, these things that he's pointing out are common, you know. They're not holy. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean. Well, that's true. That holiness and righteousness is very easily depicted in the Word, and we should pay attention. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. Yeah, which is, of course, ceasing from our own works, right? And I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls that they may get dishonest gain. Yeah, tell people what they want to hear, and they'll probably support you, right? And her prophets have daubed for them untempered mortar, seeing false visions, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. Yep. And I sought, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. We walked through the patio and through the front door into the house. To the left was an area full of people watching TVs. All different types of TVs, old consoles, flat, new flat screens, etc. All sizes. I saw old programs, Father Knows Best, The Patty Duke Show, Andy Griffith Show, an old game show, and I heard Queen for a Day. There were soap operas on, and the Lord asked, how does this edify me? Edify means build up me. And of course, the Lord has a body in the earth that needs building up. It can only be built up by the truths of the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God. And Sandy said, I'm sorry, Lord. Revelation 18, 2 through 8. Says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and is become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication all the nations are fallen. And the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Uh-oh. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her the double according to her works. In the cup which she mingled, mingle unto her double. How much soever be glorified be she, excuse me, how much soever she glorified herself and waxed wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and shall in no wise see mourning. Well, you see, that's what the false prophets and priests and pastors have done to the people of God. They think they're sitting just fine and pretty, and there's nothing wrong with what they do, but they don't teach them holiness and righteousness. Therefore, in one day shall her plagues come, death and mourning and famine. Well, of course, all of this is in hopes that someone will repent. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. Yes, this religious system needs to go. God's people need to seek elsewhere in His Word and draw close to Him. And the Lord is going to do this. To the right side of the room was an area full of computers, new, old, big, small, fancy, iPads, etc. Children were doing homework on Facebook, MySpace, social chat sites. People were playing games and doing work. I got closer to their faces, and I saw their eyes were big and round like silver dollars staring at the screen. A big clock is seen with its hand spinning quickly, as if to say, 24/7, this is going on. And I guess it could also say, you're running out of time. And the Lord asked, how does this edify me? I said, Lord, forgive me, for I myself am guilty of this. These things happening on the right represent God's people justifying themselves and compromising, saying it's okay to spend extra time on these devices because they aren't TVs and we must do our work on them as well. So the time in our conscience gets blurred. And this can also represent justification by our own works, and essentially is like worshiping a false Jesus that allows compromise contrary to his word. In 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4 says this, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is towards Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which you did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you do well to bear with him." So, a rebuke from the Lord. "Standing in the middle of that room, I looked up and I saw there were different levels to the house where the activity got worse physically and spiritually. I saw and heard people speaking filthily. I didn't see it, but knew that it was pornography, and scary movie sounds were also in the background. People were cursing and saying all kinds of bad things. People were laughing at it when it was not funny. And the Lord asked, 'How does that edify me? How does that build up my body?'" Right? The different levels of the tabernacle represent people's spirit, soul, and body. And if these activities are occurring in the spirit and soul, they bring a curse on the body of these people and death. Spiritual death is reprobation, and it becomes impossible for them to be renewed again unto repentance. Their consciences are seared. They have become reprobate. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8. "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come," and of course some people haven't tasted the good word of God, they've got a little bit of an excuse, and they're in powerless churches, so they also have a little bit of an excuse, "and then fell away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." How do they crucify the Son of God afresh? Jesus living in you. They're putting to death again Jesus living in them. Amen. "Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no one that ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven," the Lord says. "For the land which has drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it," which you can see both as the word of God and the spirit of God, "and bringeth forth herbs meet for them whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, it's rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned." Yes, people should take that seriously and fear the Lord. "We went into another room, and I heard conversations going on. One person was trying to tell another something that he said, and he said, 'I know,' not letting the other finish because he already knew." All right. You know, Proverbs 18 and 13 says, "He that giveth answer before he heareth, it is a folly and a shame unto him." In the same crowd, educated people were having conversations with others, but the educated person never heard anything anyone else said because they were puffed up and boasting that they had a degree in this or a doctorate in that. They knew it all and yet knew nothing. And the Lord asked, "How does this edify me?" Well, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5 says, If any man teacheth a different doctrine, and consenteth to not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questionings and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth. And another one, very similar, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days grievous times will come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From such turn away, we're told. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women. Now, of course, we're talking about houses of worship and so on. Silly women meaning those sects or denominations of Christianity. Laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men. Yes, the Lord is bringing a beast chastening upon apostate Christianity, that people will once again go and seek his word, instead of thinking that they have it from this educated person here. Yeah. To the right in that room were people bickering over trivial matters. A conversation that stands out is, Who took my Kool-Aid? I looked around and realized that all these people were carrying Bibles, and I realized that they were all Christians. The whole house was people professing to be Christians. And the Lord asked, How does this edify me? I said, Lord, forgive us. Well, you know many worldly people associate religious fanatics and cult members to Jim Jones. And they say things to Christians like, don't drink the Kool-Aid. In other words, don't fall for the deceptions and traps of religion. Well, it's true. Religions are traps, and people don't grow up in them. And it speaks about Jim Jones here. On May the 13th through 1931 and through November 18th, 1978, was an American cult leader, a preacher, and self-professed faith healer. He launched the People's Temple in Indiana during the 1950s. He and his inner circle orchestrated a mass murder-suicide of himself and his followers in his jungle commune at Jonestown, Guyana, on November the 18th, 1978. And Jones ordered and likely coerced the mass suicide and mass murder of 918 commune members. And 304 of them were children, almost all by cyanide poisoned flavor aid or Kool-Aid. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, Be sober and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, you might think, well, this is just too far. You know, we don't. But let me tell you, we're talking about spiritual things, heavenly things, things that would cause you to enter the kingdom or not enter the kingdom. This is serious. Just as serious as this was at Guyana. Yeah. We went into another room and stood in the doorway. Small children were running around the room, jumping on chairs, sofas, pulling down curtains, being very mischievous. And their parents were in the middle of the room, oblivious to what the children were doing. In other words, their leadership was not doing their job. They were running wild. They were so self-absorbed in what they were doing and their desires that they were blind to what their children were doing. Well, it's true. So many people are so much of the leadership of God's people are so absorbed in what they want. They just want to get through with their job so they can go play. Right? The Lord asked, "How does this edify me?" I said, "Lord, I'm sorry." Many of God's people are not self-disciplined to stay in God's word. And I say that we can go to God for anything and ask him to draw us into his word, ask him to cause us to love his word, and then take steps of faith in that direction, right? So anyway, since they're not self-disciplined, therefore the fruit that they bring forth is disorderly and confusion and does not effectively edify the body of Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." People are losing their peace. Demon forces are coming in and taking away their peace. We went into another room and saw people holding their Bibles, and they tried to step forward saying, "Yes, the Lord has told me to do this." But before they stepped forward, they stepped right back and said, "No, no, he didn't tell me." And I saw people holding their Bibles open saying, "The Lord has shown me this." And then saying, "No, no, he didn't show me anything." And then I saw people holding phones saying, "The Lord told me to say this." And then, "No, no, never mind. He didn't say anything." They were never sure in anything they did. And they were procrastinating in the name of the Lord. And of course, you know, the voice just leaves as you procrastinate, you know. And the Lord asked, "How does this edify me?" Well, James chapter 1, 5 through 8 says, "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." You know, for years I've been invited to churches and things, and been able to share some things. And I've noticed they don't get answers to prayer, especially the non-spirit-filled churches. They get no answers to prayer. They got these long lists of things that they pray for. And they think that they're going to be heard for their much speaking, but they don't even speak that much. There's just a great falling away from the Lord. People need to be filled with His Holy Spirit and need to pray to Him to be in them what they could never be otherwise, right? And we then went through sliding glass doors and saw a man sitting in a chair, and he was covering his face with his hands. He was being attacked by Christians who were standing around him and yelling, "How do you know that you know the Lord? Or why did he tell you that and not me? Or why do you think you are so privileged that you know and hear the Lord? Or do you think you are somebody? You don't know your word. You don't know God. Who do you think you are? how do you know you are not hearing demons? And the Lord asked, how does this edify me? Yeah, they don't know how to edify people, build them up, just critical, just building themselves up to be over them and smarter and wiser, and can't hear a word from God. Galatians 5 and 13 through 21 says, for ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. Yeah, we don't want to give in to the lusts of our own flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I felt such conviction during this dream for not praying, fasting, and reading my word. And of course, these are the actions which would warn us away from dangers to come. And so many are now finding themselves in the dangers to come and losing their lives too. She said, I have been guilty of letting my time be idle, I-D-L-E, which equals I-D-O-L. A few days later, on 9-4-11, I received Ephesians 5 as a reminder. That's a good reminder. I'd go there and read it, Ephesians 5. In Eve's dream below, she woke up at 9-11. Another 9-11 warning of danger, right? We're living in a time of idolatry, and this is killing many. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There is such trust, for instance, in the medical profession instead of God's word, that a lesson is coming that I believe few will forget. We're being warned by virologists and vaccine makers that the COVID-19 vaccine is a dangerous depopulation tool. The sold-out media, of course, is doing their best to hide this, because when the wise speak up, they beat them down and remove them. So, You look at the foundations of what's going on. A vaccine maker, famous, Moderna, pharmaceutical. It was in the third and final stage of their COVID vaccine development. The first CEO of Moderna was Anthony Fauci. And Fauci was a roommate of Bill Gates at Cornell University. And of course, these men and their company is at the center of the deep state Satanist depopulation cult. And they brag about it. At Cornell, Bill Gates developed the RFID, the radio frequency identification, and patented it under a number here, so they could put it in their vaccine in preparation for the mark of the beast. That's what they're all building up for. Moderna was started in Germany under the name of IG Farben. IG Farben was infamous for mass production of Zytalon B, the gas used to kill millions in the Holocaust. And after the war, IG Farben sold its assets to, yes, George Soros, who rebranded the company as Moderna. The primary stockholder of Moderna was Jeffrey Epstein, oh gosh, who made a fortune off of and established his connections from Moderna. And Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, George Soros, and the World Health Organization were the major funders for the Wuhan lab that developed and released the COVID-19 virus pandemic on the world. Oh, so there's a great conflict of interest here. We make a disease, and now we get to make a lot of money off of it. And so they could make a depopulation vaccine, and people would beg them for it. What's becoming known by reputable scientists is that the COVID-19 attacks diseased cells specifically. In other words, it's only good for one narrow thing. And so they're only really after one invader, right? But everybody's now finding out that they don't work, and there's a reason for that. They destroy the strength of the natural, non-specific killer cells in our bodies, which are our most important defense against all diseases. Non-specific means that these cells attack any disease that's contrary to the nature that you have. So many will die of all kinds of diseases, but they won't know the real enemy. And they will probably blame it on some COVID variant so that they can sell another vaccine, right? And make you more sick. I'm going to put a couple of links here. I'd like you to look at these and listen to these. Here's one. Former Gates Foundation vaccine scientist calls for halt to vaccinations, predicts wipeout of populations. And here's another one. COVID-19 vaccines are weapons of mass destruction and could wipe out the human race. Two different scientists or doctors. And watch this. You will see. And the problem is that these people, after taking this vaccine, all become carriers and can infect people who didn't take the vaccine. Therefore, the people who don't take the vaccine need to trust in God, not just not take the vaccine. Of course, don't take the vaccine, but trust in God. This idolatry with false vaccines is going to kill multitudes. It already has killed multitudes, including 80% of the left-leaning people who never questioned government. And the other 10%, or 20%, excuse me, the other 20% of those who are not believing God's word. Oh, my gosh. You know, they don't understand that now the people themselves who make this stuff are in danger. It's going to come around to them. 80% of the left that take the vaccine are being taken down. In other words, exactly what we started saying about 4 years ago now, 3.5 to 4 years ago now, that they were going to shoot themselves in the foot, that God was going to use it to drain the swamp. And that's what's happening. So that other 20% of those who are not believing God's word are obviously right-leaning people, but it's not saving them either. And Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm." In other words, his strength is in the flesh, the works of man. and whose heart departeth from the Lord. We don't know how far we have departed from the Lord until we give an honest look at the Scriptures, because that's an eternal covenant and we cannot depart from it. And you can learn about God's free vaccine that has no side effects but good health in our book. And I'll put a link to our book here, God's Vaccine. Okay, now here's another very similar revelation. And we called it Father Ordered, Clean Up Your House or Be Evicted. Oh, does that bring anything to mind? Any imaginations to your mind? Clean up the house, your house, or be evicted. And this is Eve Brast on 3:15:21. I dreamed that Father had ordered the immediate cleanup of the left and right mobile homes located on the land in Texas that my dad, representing my Heavenly Father, had given me for an inheritance in real life. Well, we know we have been given the land, promised land. It's both this life that we live in and this land around us, because we're going to inherit that too. And the Lord has used these mobile homes to depict the corporate, apostate, factious house of goats on the left and the corporate house of the sanctified, righteous sheep on the right. And we've had many. We're very familiar with these two places. These two mobile homes are connected by a very large concrete patio that runs in between the entire length of the two mobile homes. In this dream, I've seen a picture of it, and yes, it's just exactly like that. In this dream, further down, it is where all of the wicked were congregated. The patio represents the outer court of the temple. And that's, of course, where the apostates are spiritually until reprobated or regenerated or die by the plague. That's where they are, okay? And I do say, by the plague, okay? Revelation 11, 1 and 2 says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and one said, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein, and the court which is without the temple, leave without, and measure it not. For it hath been given unto the nations, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Given unto the nations. You know, the beast is going to be trampling under the people of God who are walking in the flesh. And that's he's given them over for 3.5 years of persecution and destruction at the hands of the beast, right? If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the feet of men, the Lord says. And if you don't want to know what the savor is and what a Christian looks like, read the New Testament. It's not changed. It has not changed. Or our responsibility. It has not changed. When the dream started, I was inspecting the living room of the left side mobile home. It was like a large warehouse inside. A warehouse. In other words, that which the apostates hold dear and valuable. And as we're going to see, it's a junkyard. And will bring God's wrath upon them. Romans 2:5-8 says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious, and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. And she said, I saw row after row of shelves of old junk that reached almost to the ceiling. In other words, this is the waste and broken junk of their lives that should have been thrown out, and it represents their spiritual sinful baggage. Amen. The place was poorly lit, meaning, of course, they live in darkness, and these things are done in darkness. And everything was dingy and dusty, represents spirits of works of uncleanness. And there were parts of old engines covered in old dried up oil. And this is, of course, like the virgins whose oil ran out and were not even able to escort the bride and the groom to the marriage supper in heaven. And this lack of good oil, of course, destroys engines. Engines some represent that which moves our vessels forward. She said they had old, dusty cardboard boxes full of stuff, and it looked like a hoarder's old garage. Yes, not only has Father ordered the clean-out of the factious apostate tares from among his wheat in the right mobile home, but all of their pollution and remnants of their sinful lives are to be moved off of the Father's land, just as the Canaanites were forced to leave the promised land. Philippians 3 and 18, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. Well, this is the junk and uncleanness of their lives. Romans 1:28 through 32 says, and even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge. You know, people are seeking knowledge in all kinds of ways, like we were just sharing, TV, internet, they're seeking all kinds of knowledge which has no eternal value whatsoever. What they're saying is they're refusing to have God in their knowledge. God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God that they that practice such things are worthy of death. Yep, they know what the word says. Not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. So they gather in bundles to be burned, as Jesus said. I heard Father's voice above and behind me say, get all this cleaned out immediately. I won't stand for it anymore. Well, it's his property, right? There's an eviction notice. Last night, that is the night before this, I received this. I saw this as a threat of an eviction from God's land. For some, it could be permanent and symbolize reprobation. And Proverbs 2 and 21 through 22 says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. And when the man-child Jesus came, he was reprobating the apostates who refused to repent, saying to the disciples, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. It is not given. Wow, he came. They disciples, of course, wanted their ex-leaders to know the truth, And Jesus said, it's not given to them. And this history is being repeated through the man-child in our day with the apostate church. It's not given to them. There are many who have been reprobated already. I knew in the dream he was addressing some of his angels, but at the same time, talking about, you know, cleaning this stuff out, right? But at the same time, I knew that I had a responsibility to help and to do my part. He expected all of us to do our parts. So, we are to speak in agreement with the word, and the angels are given authority because of this, right? Psalm 103, 20 and 21 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, and that fulfill his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. Will you be the voice of his word? Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Yes, we command the junk to be gone from the Father's land. It's his land, he has a right. He says what's junk and what's not. And Eve said, I felt alone and I thought, this is a very large task. It feels overwhelming. How will I get all of these years of accumulated junk cleaned out in time? Well, a couple of things came to my mind. Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? So there is a multiplied power in the joining together of our faith, and especially when we speak it, right? And we speak and we command God's promised land to be cleaned out. And those that won't repent are evicted in the name of Jesus. Psalm 81, 13 and 14. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would, get this, soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. I would soon subdue their enemies. All right. Amen. Suddenly, all of the local UBM brethren showed up like they do on moving days when we help someone move. I remember Greg and Brandy and Tim, among other brethren, quickly and efficiently taking everything down off the shelves and throwing it all into a huge dumpster, containers that the Father had ordered for the massive cleanup effort. In other words, draining the swamp. These containers had come down from heaven somehow and were placed inside the left mobile home living room. In other words, that's what their life is all about. I knew in the dream that the angels had brought them down, even though I didn't physically see them. My ex-husband was there as well. He was pretending to look busy, but wasn't actually being helpful in the cleanup. Well, you know, the ex-husband here in this represents the factious who are constantly working against us in our cleaning up efforts. And they pretend to look busy, but in reality they love to talk trash and harbor unclean spirits and cause the people to stumble by faction and witchcraft spirits. Greg had a clipboard, and he and Brandy were coordinating the cleanup and checking off the items as they were being disposed of into the huge dumpster containers. All of the men were working very efficiently, and things were getting cleaned out of the left mobile home at a record pace. I was so relieved to have all the help because I was too weak to do it all by myself, and would never have gotten it done in the Father's time limit that he had set. And this is why Father commands that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because we all need each other as a body to stay strong and to help one another. The devil is constantly trying to separate us from each other so that he can devour us and cause us to fall. Yeah, like wolves separate a lamb from the flock in order to devour it. Amen. We can see that. In this dream, I had my three boys, Noah, Elijah, and Josiah, around me, and they were all younger, like grade school ages. Their spiritual ages are represented here. The Lord will renew the spirits of our children and loved ones in the coming great revival. They were all happy and excited for the cleanup of the mobile homes, and because Father was moving us to my grandmother's old house that I had grown up in. It was a really nice house, and I had always wanted to live there when I was young and not with my parents growing up. In the dream, Father had purchased it for me to live out my last days on earth in. Father is using my boys because of their names. They represent the first fruits who desire sanctification and righteousness. And this is the fruit that the bride bears among the people of God. Desiring to live at my grandmother's house instead of my mother's house while growing up also represents the drawing that the Father puts in the hearts of the elect to come out from among the Babylonish apostasy and the things of the world and walk in the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. I thought to myself, I don't have much longer to live. I'm 50 years old. Oh, I hope so. I'm glad he's moving us to my grandmother's house, where everything is peaceful, and I'll have rest and peace during my final days together with my children. Well, you know, the first fruits don't have much longer to live. They are crucified with Christ through their faith in his sacrifice and from daily taking up their cross to follow Jesus biblically. The number 50 is a symbol of freedom, release, and new cycle. Every 50 years in the Day of Atonement, people needed to honor the Jubilee, a day when all the loans and debts were forgiven to one another who took a debt, and all the slaves were released, and all things taken were turned back to people that they belonged to. It was a day when harmony was established. Once everything was cleaned off of the shelves and thrown into the dumpster containers, Jesus, who was always at my right hand, ushered me out of the door of the left mobile home, and he took me on a tour throughout a carnival scene that was taking place on the patio in between the two mobile homes, meaning among the apostates between the mobile homes. It was so dark outside, except for the candles and dim strings of light around each display booth. It all looked so evil, like Mardi Gras. And all the people were painted up with face and body paints, and they had strange costumes with goat heads and horns. Each booth was an altar to Satan with all kinds of witchcraft and paraphernalia and skulls. And they had painted their propaganda and their colorful graffiti on the outer walls of each mobile home. The patio represents the outer court of the temple. Their propaganda represents all the lies and deceptions of the faction and false prophets, pastors in the apostate church and in the mainstream media who are deceiving people with their witchcraft lies and slander. And Revelation 11:1-2 says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and one said, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And the court which is without the temple, leave without, and measure it not, for it hath been given unto the nations. Yes, so the judgment. As I was walking through this maze of Satanists and their booths, the Lord was talking with me, and I was asking him questions about different things I saw. He was explaining everything to me. The Lord will give truth to the true discernment of those who love the truth rather than buying their lies. He'll help his people navigate this time of confusion and great deception that is taking over so many currently and in days to come. We finally made it over to the right side mobile home, and he took me inside. And I noticed it had been cleaned out except for three small items in the living room. They were old computer-related products. Yeah, one was an old printer. Now, this represents a stumbling block to a lot of people, computers. Some spend too much time on computers and not enough with the Lord and His work, which has, of course, eternal value. She said, I don't remember what the other two were, but they were smaller than the printer. And the Lord seemed pleased that there was hardly anything left as He ordered a couple of angels to remove the final three things from the right side mobile home. Well, that sounds good. Sounds awesome. And this represents, of course, achieving death to self and our spirit man's final conquering of our flesh, right? And I remember Him showing me a beautiful sun room, S-U-N-S-O-N, that He had built off the narrow hallway of the right side mobile home. It was well lit with golden lights all around and was a huge improvement that added a great deal of value to the property. It was full of lush green plants all around the edges near all the windows, representing people, right? And these were also glass skylights across the entire roof like a greenhouse. And, of course, Jesus is the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, room that is the only thing of value in our earthly tabernacles. And He, of course, adds incalculable value to our being. After this, He took me outside of the right mobile home where the well house was. It was much bigger in the dream than it had been in real life. It was about the size of a large storage shed. The well had been broken down for many years. A well house is where the fresh water of the Word should be flowing out for the residents of the house, but in this case, an evil sheriff was in charge of it. So those who are in charge of dispensing the pure Word are fallen away and can't feed the people. A man came out to greet us from the broken-down well house, dressed in a sheriff's uniform. He had oily black hair that had been washed in, hadn't been washed in a while, and when he smiled at us, he had up a front tooth that looked like a black dragon or snake eye with a white slit for a pupil. So, I mean, this identifies that they are part of the dragon body of Revelation 12 who try to devour the man, child, and the woman church. And they see very small, the white slit for a pupil. And this sheriff had been appointed to keep the law and order on the property by the Lord, but had fallen down on the job and become lazy and corrupt. The sheriff looked nervous. The sheriff looked nervous when he came out to meet us and was wringing his hands together with a big grin on his face. And that dragon eye tooth looking at us. This sheriff represents not only the corrupt apostate pastors and leaders over God's people, but also the corrupt government officials that have taken bribes and oppressed the poor, and have allowed the governments in the church and in the world to dismantle the laws of God and of man. Amen. The Lord began to require an accounting of the sheriff's job performance and questioned him about all the debauchery going on between the two mobile homes. The sheriff seemed very anxious and was trying to be all buddy-buddy with the Lord, but the Lord wasn't going for it, and was about to punish the sheriff and kick him out of his position and off of the land. And, of course, the Lord is going to drain the swamp of these apostate leaders. He ordered the sheriff to go around the patio and begin doing his job of clearing out all of the wicked people from in between the two mobile homes. In other words, there's going to be a separation between the good and the bad, and there isn't going to be any lukewarm in the middle, right? And after this, I knew the sheriff would be out of a job. Amen. Watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Therefore be ye also ready, for in an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord tarrieth, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, which a lot of them are, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And then I woke up, and when I looked at the clock, it was 9:11 a.m. 9:11 represents warning, emergency, and danger. The Lord is warning that it's repentance now or judgment. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this wonderful revelation. We ask the Lord that everyone take it to heart, and especially they watch these videos. And thank you so much, Father, for your goodness to us and your grace to us. And we love you and we praise you. All right. Good night.